Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Lean with Plants. We are coming into the most wonderful time of the year. I am not a Christmas person. I really don't love the kind of holiday period. I like the summer. It's beautiful and sunny in New Zealand, and we go to the beach lots and all that kind of thing. But I can't say that I love the kind of holiday season. I'm a little bit like the Grinch. One of the things about coming into this time of year is there is going to be so many events with family and friends, and you've got Christmas and Thanksgiving in the States and all of the delicious goodness in between, and a lot of people end up gaining weight this time of year. So this episode is going to be all about strategies to deal with eating out with friends and family, how to avoid that holiday weight gain, and what kind of goals to set for yourself so that you feel like you can still make progress towards your goals and that they don't just go to custard by the end of the year. And this is really important because there is a bit of a tendency to give up from November to Christmas and just think, okay, I'll lose all the weight in the new year. But if you're here listening to this podcast, you probably know by now that it's a lot easier to gain weight than it is to lose weight. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. And if it was easier for you the other way around, then I would 100% listen to that podcast. Tell me your secrets. But it's crazy how much of your hard work you can undo in a very short period of time when you decide to eat a lot of high calorie food, or you're in an environment during the holidays where that is the norm. You can also end up feeling like a bit of a failure this time of year when you've been trying to lose weight and then it feels impossible. So being able to have a system that keeps you on track is so important for not just your physical health, but also your mental health and how you feel about the progress that you're making. I remember a couple of years ago, when my daughter Riley was a baby, and I'd spent about 6 months losing 5 kilos, so about 10 pounds. And I'd done that through a combination of a lot of exercise, like running every single day, about an hour. I was training for a half marathon at the time, and also eating like a mostly raw diet. And then I was eating way too much like high calorie food at night. It was kind of like a raw till four situation where I would eat lots of raw fruit and vegetables during the day, and then I would just go wild on the white rice and curry with tons of coconut cream, and I'd go back for like my fifth bowl, not even kidding. And I sustained an injury leading up to the marathon that I was going to do. I actually signed up for 2 half marathons in the space of 2 weeks. So I was training for these, and it was November. They were both in November, end of November. And I got an injury and was able to do the first half marathon and complete that. And once I started running, like I was all strapped up and I felt fine. Like I was able to complete it, but I wasn't able to do the second one. So my training basically went from an hour a day or more of running, which does actually burn like quite a lot of calories, to not doing that as well. And my other habits started to slip leading up to Christmas. So the 6 months that it had taken me to lose those 5 kilos, I gained that back in a month leading up to Christmas. It was so demoralizing. Another reason that I gained that weight back was I was thinking about going fully raw in the new year as a bit of a challenge and doing that with Nick. He was going to give it a go for see if it could help him with his multiple sclerosis. You hear that car in the background, the police car in the background. Anyway, so that was like a really all-in, all-out kind of mindset that I had. New year, new me, so I wasn't going to worry about it. It doesn't work. So this is a better system. One of the things I think that's important to think about as you're coming into holidays is, what are your goals over the holiday period? And if you are on an active weight loss journey, it's okay to have a goal to just maintain. And if you struggle with consistency over this period, I would actually recommend that. Your overall goal could be something like, make this a better holiday season in terms of your decisions and your habits than you've ever had, because that's still improvement. So instead of having the standard as something super high where you say no to every single thing and you're losing weight and you've never ever achieved that before and that's a huge leap for you, what if your standard was last Christmas and last holiday season and you're just trying to do better? You're just trying to get some core habits on track and actually maintain your weight. Then at least as you come into the new year, when we've kind of got a lot of these holidays and family activities behind us, your habits are more established and you're in a better position where you can start tweaking things to actually get into a calorie deficit again and lose weight. So if you have been worried about this season and the end of November, start of December, Christmas period, then it is okay to have a maintenance goal. That is what I'm going to do. I am not going to be actively trying to lose weight in this period. I am going to be focusing on maintaining my current weight. And we'll talk about how to do this as we go on in the episode. So one of the things with this is to focus on core habits, because how do you focus on maintenance, right? It's easy to say, just focus on maintaining your weight. You don't have to try and lose weight. And again, you can have that goal to lose weight during this time, but you're going to have to navigate a lot more obstacles. You can 100% do that, but you don't have to have that as your goal. So what maintenance is going to look like is having those core habits that keep you at that maintenance level so that you're not constantly going into a calorie surplus. And I've said this in so many episodes, but I'll say it again. You losing weight and maintaining that long term is a result. It is not a goal in itself. It is a result of actions. And when those are daily habits that lead to the results, you can maintain them when you have created those core habits. So as success over this time, and really any time to be honest, focus on what the core habits are that you need to succeed and have them define what success is, rather than just losing weight or just maintaining your weight. Those define the definition of success, because if you do them, you can always tweak them and they will most likely lead to you either losing or maintaining, depending on what those core habits are. Now, there's a couple of different core habits that we're going to go over. And the first one is creating core habits for your core environment. And so your core environment is really where you spend most of your time. If you are working from home or you're a stay-at-home mum or you're just in the house most of the time, then your core environment is going to be your home. It's where you spend the majority of your time and it's where you eat the majority of your food. If you are a student or you work outside of the home, then your core environment is just going to be where you spend the majority of your time that you're eating. So we'll talk about those different things, but your core environment, think, where do I eat most of my meals? And later on, we'll get to when you're out with friends or you're getting food on the go or Christmas occasions, anything like that. So in your core environment, you want to create habits, and especially over this time to avoid weight gain, protect those, I won't say with your life, but be very protective of those core habits. Because what's going to happen over this period for weight maintenance, at least, is you're most likely going to have your core habits keeping you at a fairly consistent calorie amount or you know, like you're kind of at your baseline. Maybe you're in a slight calorie deficit in your core environment. And then you're going to have all these occasions when you're out with friends or you're a little bit more, having a little bit more treats, you're at events and things like that. And that's going to push you up into a higher calorie amount that you're eating on those days. But overall, you're going to be at maintenance because your core habits that you do on a daily basis are going to even out those kind of bumps in the road in terms of your calorie consumption. So core habits that I recommend to cultivate are the same ones that you want to be cultivating for weight loss. Those are things like making sure that you are eating a consistent breakfast, a consistent whole foods plant-based breakfast that is low in calorie density and low in fat as well. And this is an especially helpful core habit when you're entering this season, because if you feel full and satisfied in the morning, you're much more likely to make better decisions throughout the day, and you're much more likely to not be as hungry in the nighttime or when you're going out, so that you can actually make better decisions. You're not making decisions based on purely hunger. So my recommendation is keep your breakfast or your morning routine quite sacred. And I will still eat things like porridge or sweet potato, even on Christmas morning, because I really like to protect that routine. Like, I don't go out for brunch or anything like that, because that's a core habit for me. And I mean, maybe like once a year or once every couple of months, but that's important to me. And I can always go out later on the day, but I like having that core habit because it sets up the rest of my day. So that's one. Another one is really just all of the guidelines that we've talked about over this podcast and on my YouTube and Instagram, keeping the food that you're eating in that lower calorie density range. Asking yourself, can I like pick it, peel it, boil it, wash it and eat it? All of these things. Is it something that in its whole form, it is eatable now? Without much processing. So white sugar, it doesn't fit the bill, right? Because it's had the water removed from it. It starts off as something called sugar beets, which is basically like a beet, but white. And then it's boiled down, all of the fiber is removed, the water content is removed, and you're left with this crystalline substance, which is white sugar. So it's not whole food, right? Eating a beet is totally different to eating white sugar. So if you're in your core environment, you're eating these whole foods and you are keeping it low fat, so you're not eating tons of tahini or tons of nut butters, which again, not whole foods. There's a big difference between eating a small handful of raw walnuts than there is to slathering. I don't know if that's actually a word. Slathering peanut butter all over your oatmeal and then topping it with maple syrup. Like, there's a huge difference there in how many calories you're going to be eating, because one of them is just so processed. Or, I mean, it's not so processed, but it's a lot more processed. So it's really satisfying, or it's really delicious at least in terms of peanut butter. So you're going to just eat a lot more, and it's crushed into tiny, tiny pieces. So you're also going to fill up more surface area with that. I feel like I'm just kind of rambling now. Whole foods. I can't go into everything that encompasses in this episode, but you can go and watch any of my YouTube videos, What I Eat in a Day, if you're curious about that and you're new to the podcast. Ultimately, you will want to define what core habits for your environment look like. It's quite an individual decision. For me, some of the ones that I choose is that I cook vegetables with all of my meals bar breakfast. So I will, when I'm making a meal like a risotto or a spaghetti bolognese or a stew or a salad, I'm putting half of the components into that recipe as non-starchy vegetables. So that automatically lowers the calorie density of my meals. Another core habit that I have is that I really try to protect not eating processed food, and I'm talking about like specifically junk food like chocolate or ice cream or pizza in my home, because if it's there, it's much easier for me to eat it. I'm okay with eating that on occasion when I'm out, but I like my home environment to feel a bit like a sanctuary. That helps me stay on track. So that's one of my core habits that I try to protect in that environment. Another core habit that I have is that I bring food with me. So if I'm going out to events, if I'm going in the car, if I'm really doing anything, if I'm going to a cafe to work for a bit, I bring food with me, and that's normally sweet potato. Speaking of which, I also cook up sweet potato pretty much every single day. I always have that stocked in my fridge. So these are some of the core habits that make it easy for me to maintain my weight. They're things that I don't even have to think about anymore. Another core habit that I have, and this is much more about mindset, is I make a next best decision when I'm thinking about what success looks like for me. So what a next best mindset is it means that instead of choosing the absolute worst thing that you could or the absolute thing that you're craving in those moments and feeling like you failed because of that, choose something that is the best possible choice you can make for that situation. So anytime that you're like, you know what, I just want to have pizza, I want to give up, I don't want to have potato and broccoli, instead of going out and buying the most calorie dense pizza you can and then having Ben and Jerry's and then getting a milkshake with that and a Coke and whatever else, you say, okay, well, what would be the next best thing that I could do that is going to satisfy that I will realistically do? So that might look like making your own pizza at home. That could look like maybe ordering a pizza that didn't have vegan cheese on it, because vegan cheese or fake meats are going to be the most calorie dense portion of a bought pizza. So it's rather than saying this or looking at it as this very black and white, I'm either succeeding or I'm failing, you're choosing to do something that is slightly better than what you want to do. And that teaches you over time to make better decisions. It's going to build trust in your ability to make better decisions. And it's also going to mean that you overall lower your calories. What you're going to find with this is that it's actually quite easy to satisfy cravings with something that is slightly less or even a lot less decadent than the decision that you want to make. Like, I can satisfy my intense cravings for pizza most of the time with a delicious takeaway sushi, and there's way, way less calories in that. I don't have to cook it. It's got that same convenience level as a pizza. So use that next best mindset, especially around this time of year, to define what success would look like for you. Another part of this core environment that you're trying to protect is have a bit of a done list. So a done list is typically used in productivity. It's defining what done looks like for you. So if you say, you know, like, I want to work 5 hours a week, 5 hours a day, or I want to work 8 hours a day, or I want to produce 2 YouTube videos a week, whatever it is you don't do more than that once you've defined it. You're saying what done looks like, and then you say, I'm not going to do anymore. So from a productivity standpoint, it means that you can have those times where guilt-free, you're able to relax because you've, you know, you're done. You've said, I'm done at this, and you protect that. So in my mind, what that looks like from a food perspective is you can define what your downtime or what your treats would look like, and you can do that in advance so that you don't feel guilty for having them. You're much, much more likely to succeed in that when you've made some of those decisions up front. So what that could look like is that you define when you're going to have treats or when you're going to eat out, how many times in the week you do that, so that when you do have those moments, they aren't a failure. They're not something that you feel guilty for. Not that you should feel guilty for things anyway, but if you're feeling like you're constantly setting the bar so high and saying, I'm never going to have dessert again, and then you do, go back to something that you can actually achieve and find a bit of a middle ground with that. So if you're trying to cut out dessert, for example, maybe your done list for that looks like, I have dessert 3 nights a week and I don't have dessert 4 nights, so that those nights that you're not feeling guilty for that. And the nights that you're not, you're thinking, well, it's just one day, you know, or it's just one more day, and then I will have a dessert later on in the week. And I used to do the complete opposite of this, and it was so detrimental to my consistency because I would always go into things thinking, this is the last time I'm ever going to have this, because from now on I have to be perfect. So that when I did have a slice of pizza, it turned into two entire pizzas and the Ben and Jerry's and the Coca-Cola and all of the other things that I was describing, because in those moments I was like, I'm never gonna do this again. I'm gonna be perfect from here on out. Whereas if I'd have taken the view that, you know, every Friday night I get to go and have half a pizza with my husband and I'm going to eat some sweet potato beforehand so that I'm not hungry, or I go out to eat and maybe I have a gelato every week, then I wouldn't have been cramming that all in those failure moments, because I would have defined that's actually part of success for me. So think about how that fits into your lifestyle. And if you are in that maintenance mode and that's what you decide to do, and like I said, I'm obviously heavily recommending this for most people, then you do have a little bit more flexibility with higher calorie foods as well. So define your core environment and what habits are that you want to maintain in there. Keep it easy, keep it light. You don't have to define every single thing that you do and don't do, but you're more likely to succeed with a plan than none at all. And if you eat outside of the home, maybe that's something like every night I prepare my lunch the night before. And that's really the only core habit that you set for yourself. I mean, just by doing something like that, you will probably find that you succeed a lot more than if you don't have that core habit. And my recommendation is to actually not have a ton of core habits that you've defined, but have the big ones done, so that you know what you're going to be doing in that situation. You do not have to say things like, every Wednesday I eat rice, or every morning I eat porridge. It could literally be, I prep my breakfast the night before, or I prep my lunch, or I cook up sweet potato every day. You don't have to, you want to make this as easy as possible for you so that it gives you a bit of a guideline, but it is not stifling. And then you want to be thinking about, what are some of the core habits that you want to cultivate when you are in a foreign environment, when you are in situations with other people, other places? Don't wing it. Have a plan. Even if you don't hit the mark on that, it doesn't matter. Do the next best thing. You're much more likely to get further with some semblance of a plan, even if you completely miss that, than if you go into a situation without any. I'm always shocked at how many people will say things like, you know, I went to this event and I didn't bring any food with me and nobody knew that I was vegan, so I was offered all this stuff, and then I ended up, you know, I was really, really hungry and I was there for ages, and I just ended up doing, you know, I ended up eating it because there wasn't anything else for me to eat. And I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, what was your plan there? There's this quote from Abraham Lincoln that we all know, and he says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. This is your first 4 hours sharpening the axe. It's actually planning and preempting what you're going to do in those situations. And the parameter to define what those decisions are going to be is this: make it as easy as humanly possible to be in those difficult situations. Do as much as you can in advance to set up a system where those situations can be easy. Ask yourself, if this was going to be easy for me at this event, or when I went out to eat with this person, what would need to happen in advance? And then do those things. The more decisions that you can make up front before you even get into that, that's like planning out your strategy before you hit the battlefield. And the most obvious one is just bring food with you. That's my core habit. I always bring food with me, and I bring a lot because I've learned over time that my food will go really quickly and sometimes I miss out on it. So now often I will put out an amount for everyone, and I will still make more than what is needed, especially if I'm going to be the only vegan or the only Whole Foods plant-based vegan there. And then I will save some aside for myself so that I'm not going to go hungry. When I'm in a situation where I'm eating out with people, I'm talking about in people's homes or at like a potluck or a dinner party or something like that. Not that I go to dinner parties. I'm not that fancy. And my friend group is not fancy. But if I'm in those situations, I'm always trying to bring a buttload of food. Because hunger is the thing that is going to be the biggest sabotager for you in those situations. So it's not just about bringing a lot of food. It's also about bringing filling food. That's things like sweet potato, potato-based foods, legumes-based, rice-based, maybe corn on the cob. I'm just thinking about the fact that we're going into summer and going to have corn on the cob. And most of the world in the Northern Hemisphere is now not going to be having that. So maybe not corn on the cob, but something that is going to help you feel full. And if you're going to something that it's not about being full, maybe it's like a wine and cheese night with the girls, then eat enough before you go. Think about that phrase. How can I make this as easy as humanely possible in advance? You can also be defining what you will and won't do in those situations. So for me, that looks like the other day I went to a hot dog party and for a 30-year-old man and a 6-year-old child, son, and I took with me this huge like chickpea salad type thing that was meant to go with hot dogs. I bought some vegan hot dogs for my children and I bought some buns for those to go on and I bought lettuce cups and I ate sweet potato on the way there. So when I got there, I'd already thought about the fact that I wanted to try one of these tiny little vegan hot dogs, but I wasn't going to eat the bread because I can easily put that in a lettuce cup. So I made that decision where I knew what I was going to do, and it wasn't like a failure decision to do that. Not that there is failure, we talked about this, but I knew what I was going to do and I defined what success looked like for me. So I loaded up my lettuce cups with like tons of these chickpea, delicious kind of chickpea salad mix. And I put a hot dog in there and some onions and things. And I really enjoyed that. And there was dessert as well. And what I had decided is, you know, I'm not going to have dessert. I'm not going to have ice cream. I'm not going to have the cake. It's not worth it for me. And I brought myself a little punnet of strawberries that I was going to have when other people were having dessert. And then when dessert came out, you know what? There was like this little kind of fudge type thing or rocky road thing that someone had made. And they're like, hey, you know, you can eat this. It's vegan, blah, blah, blah. And I had two squares of that and I had my strawberries. So on my plate, like it actually felt like quite a lot of food and everyone else was eating gelato cake and ice cream and lollies and all this stuff. And because I defined what I was going to do in that situation, which was eat the strawberries and have my little hot dog, have my chickpea salad and lettuce cup. And I'd thought about that a bit in advance. Even though I did have some of this fudge that it was higher in calories, I didn't have a ton of cake. I didn't have gelato. I didn't have all this other stuff. I didn't feel deprived. I actually felt good about my decisions. So it wasn't about being perfect, but it was about thinking about how I could navigate that in a way that felt easy for me. And it was making better choices for those core habits that I wanted to keep. And some of the things to be thinking about when you're out with people is in terms of having like a system that makes it as easy as possible when you're there in those situations is having hard conversations in advance. The thing is, okay, you're going to have those conversations anyway, right? You're going to have someone come up to you, Auntie Joan, come up to you and say, well, I should use a different auntie. Like, that's an actual auntie of Nick's. I shouldn't use that name. Aunt Thelma comes up to you and she's like, why aren't you eating my honey soy chicken that I made? It's your favorite. And then you have to say, well, Auntie, you know what? I'm actually vegan now. I'm plant-based and I'm not eating that. and you feel guilty and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Have the conversations as much as possible in advance. It's going to make your life so much easier. And other people's disappointment of you is not your responsibility. When you are doing the right thing for yourself and your family, you do not have to feel like someone else's disappointment is your responsibility in any way, shape, or form, even that if that is a close relative to you. If you are changing your diet to be more of a whole foods diet, whether you're a junk food vegan or you were coming from the standard American diet, get the core people in those core environments, whether that is friends that you normally go out and brunch with, or that is your mother-in-law, let them know what you will be doing. And as much as possible, own those decisions in a way that you are not making it reasonably affect them. And when I say reasonably, there is going to be a lot of people that think that your decisions affect them when they actually don't. They're going to put that on you. So if someone comes to your house and you cook them a vegan meal, that is not an inconvenience to them. Like, you've gone to the trouble of cooking them a meal, right? If you go to someone's house and you have said, hey, I'm going to bring this because this is what I do, and I'm going to bring this food, and I'm going to bring this side, and I'm going to bring the dessert that I want to eat, then when you're there, it's no one else's responsibility, or it's no one else's problem if you just eat what you bring. No one can claim that as taking ownership to feel annoyed at you for that. If you come to something and someone has made something especially for you and you never had that conversation with them, that's much, much harder in that moment. So as much as possible, have those conversations in advance. My family, my extended family, my friend group, they all know the decisions that we make, and they, as much as possible, try and accommodate it now. And it's actually really nice. I have people come up to me and they'll say, hey, you know what? I cooked that kumara without oil, kumara sweet potato in New Zealand. Or like, I made this thing and it's vegan. But I also don't expect people to accommodate me. My mother-in-law, she doesn't really know how to cook vegan, she wouldn't know where to start in terms of what kind of things to make for us, and I don't put that expectation on her. So the decision for us to eat a plant-based diet, it really doesn't have to be something that affects her, because every time I'm in those situations with that side of the family, I'm always bringing stuff, so it's not an inconvenience for them. So this is where I'm just trying to get you to think about, is it a legitimate inconvenience to someone? Or is it a realistic inconvenience? And most of the time, it's not realistic, or it's not your responsibility. If you're bringing food with you, if you're organizing that yourself, if you're having conversations in advance, no one has any claim on you to be an inconvenience to them. They have no right to feel guilty. You have no right, no need to feel guilty about that. It is normal to feel some level of guilt. But just because you feel guilt, it doesn't mean that that's an indicator of anything real. And if you want to become the kind of person who makes confident decisions in spite of what people think, then you're going to have to start practicing it. It does get easier with time, and it does get easier if you are honest about those things up front. Another thing with that is, doing something that your family doesn't want or doesn't approve of does not mean that you don't love them. It just means that you are prioritizing your mental and your physical health more than their outdated opinion of who you should be. Let me say that again. Doing something that your family doesn't want doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means that you are prioritizing your mental and physical health over an outdated opinion of who they think you should be. So set that expectation early. And I've had to do the same with Christmas presents this year, because I hate exchanging gifts. I am literally the Grinch, and I don't like the pressure of it. I don't want my kids to be getting a ton of stuff, because I really have an issue with clutter in my house. Like it is a huge stress point for me. So I don't want my kids getting lots of presents. I want to filter what comes into my house with a very fine tooth comb. And I was getting super stressed about it. I was so stressed about Christmas. And I said to Nick, can you let your entire family know, your entire extended family, we will not be giving presents because we don't want to do that. And we don't expect or really want presents in return. And if you know, they're going to do some presents and we're going to try and arrive later or leave earlier before they do the presents. So we've communicated that up front. I mean, it's only November, and I feel way, way better about that for having a conversation and setting that expectation early. And you can do this with your friends. And it's not just for things like Christmas or Thanksgiving. You can also do this with eating out at restaurants. So if people understand the fact that you're vegan and you eat in a certain way, or you've got things that are important to you, then when you're talking about even when you go out to eat, you've actually got influence in that conversation. If you never say to someone that you are vegan now and you normally go out to this restaurant where there is not a single vegan option, then it's kind of like that's kind of your problem in a way. It's like you, what did you expect to be any different if you've never communicated that? So I'm always saying to my friends when we go out to eat, like, hey, is it okay if we go somewhere Asian, like a Korean place or a Thai place, somewhere that I know that I can get rice and veggies, and I'll probably get like a curry or a stir fry or something like that. I don't want to go to a steakhouse, and if they're going there, I'm just going to say, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out because I know there's not going to be anything there for me. And most of the time, my friends wouldn't choose that place when I'm going out with them because they know that that's not going to be suitable for me. When you communicate with people and you are really honest about that, like I've been so surprised at how accommodating people can be when you just have honest and real and open conversation. So use that as something in your arsenal leading up to the Christmas, Thanksgiving holiday season. Let's talk a little bit about weight maintenance and how to actually maintain your weight from a scientific perspective so that you know what to be focusing on so that you're not gaining over this period. So weight maintenance is much easier than losing weight because you've got a buffer there where you're able to eat more calories. When you're eating those calories from a low fat source and those are whole foods, it's harder to gain weight again because you have to have an excess of calories absorbed and actually convert it into fat to gain weight. It's harder to gain weight from low-fat sources because there's a conversion process in converting excess carbohydrates to fat stored on your body. It's called de novo lipogenesis. And it's quite an inefficient process, which means that there are calories that are burnt off as heat in the process of trying to convert excess calories from carbohydrates into fat stored on your body. The thing about excess fat is that is going to be directly stored as fat. Fat is stored as fat. There's not much burnt off in the process of converting the fat that you eat onto the fat in your body because it's already fat, right? It's already there. So if you're wanting to maintain your weight, then you want to be focusing on lower fat carbohydrate sources, whole food carbohydrates, because the other thing with whole foods is that not all of the calories are going to be absorbed. You've got a bit of a buffer there where even if you're eating theoretically more than you need and you're in a calorie surplus going into that, you're not going to absorb all of those calories and you're going to burn some off as heat. So you're not necessarily going to be in a calorie deficit once all of those factors are considered. So the practical solution to this is twofold. Number one is where possible in the meals that you're choosing to eat at home, out and about, with friends, with what you bring to events, look at how you can lower the calorie density where possible so that you're avoiding a calorie surplus. And that's going to look like adding vegetables to things, like we've already talked about a million times. Like this is one of the best things that you can do. It's choosing those whole foods, high carbohydrate sources like potatoes, rice, beans, quinoa, all of those kind of things. Where possible, avoiding those higher calorie elements like flours and anything that is cooked in oil. Oil is the highest calorie food on the planet. If you can just avoid oil or at least minimize it over that period, you're going to be much, much more likely to be able to maintain your weight. So keeping on that lower calorie density end of the spectrum as much as possible. And then when you are eating higher calorie elements, offsetting some of that with lower calorie elements like vegetables or eating before you go so that you are not overeating, any of those little strategies, think lower the calorie density where possible. And number two, it's again to do with calories, because calories are what govern whether you gain or lose or you maintain your weight. Choose high carb, low fat over high fat. And this is also a calorie density thing in a lot of ways, because carbohydrates, a pure carbohydrate calorie is 4 calories per gram. So sugar, for example, it's had all of the water, it's had all of the fiber removed. So if you take pure table sugar per gram, that is 4 calories. Whereas if you take pure fat, once you've removed all of the water and the fiber, so think something like olive oil or anything that is like a pure fat form, it's higher in calories. It is 9 calories per gram. So eating a high fat diet versus a low fat diet, you're almost automatically, unless you're massively portion controlling, going to be eating more calories, simply because the calorie density goes up dramatically with high fat foods, more than double that of carbohydrate foods. And because as well, low fat foods are or high carbohydrate, low fat foods are going to be harder to convert in that de novo lipogenesis process, then it's much better to choose them, even if they are slightly higher in calorie density. What I mean by that is, for instance, flour is much higher in calorie density, or a cracker is much higher in calorie density than whole wheat. I would still choose that over something like oil or a deep fried food, because automatically lower in calories than that, but also lower in fat. So you have less excess calories that are going to be converted to fat that are already fat. So thinking about how this works on a practical level, it's about making decisions in those moments where you are going to splurge and you are going to be eating more processed food about what is going to minimize the impact of that. With those two metrics, lowering the calorie density and keeping it as much as possible on the lower fat spectrum and avoiding oil. Like, if you can just do that, like I said, you're going to avoid a lot, or you're going to reduce a lot. So practically, let's have a look. Lowering the calorie density, easily one of the best things you can do is avoid drinking your calories from fizzy drinks, soda, alcohol, juice. Go for things like sparkling water, kombucha, because think about this. When you're out to eat and when you're picking your battles in this, you're most likely going to be eating higher calorie food anyway. If you add a couple of drinks to that, you are adding hundreds of calories that you don't have, you know, tons of extra enjoyment from that, and you're not getting any extra fullness. It's so easy to go out and enjoy a delicious meal and drink water. I do that 100% of the time. I never, ever miss drinks. I do drink coffee. I've got an iced coffee with me right now. But if you can have that as one of your core habits, you're going to lower the calorie density automatically of your meals. If you think any meal that you go out that you're saving yourself hundreds of calories simply by not drinking them, that's going to help you avoid weight gain. They're also just pure sugar, most of them, mixed with water. There can be a lot of calories in those kind of drinks. Another example of a decision where it's kind of either or would be if I was going to get out ice cream, for example, I'm going to look and choose a lower fat option. So maybe a sorbet, or there's a soy ice cream that we have, which is lower in fat. I'm going to choose that over something that is really, really high in fat, because it's going to be higher in calories. So if I look at the calorie density or if I look at the fat content of something like a Ben and Jerry's tub of ice cream, that is so incredibly calorie dense simply because it has got a lot of oil in that. There's oil in the Oreo cookies that they put in it. It's obviously higher in calorie density because any of those, like the fudge that they put in it has oil, or all of those like tasty bits that go into it. The ice cream itself is made with oil to give it a kind of a creamy texture. So I'm going to choose this low-fat soy ice cream. The enjoyment is marginally different, not enough to warrant the fact that I would choose a Ben and Jerry's, which would be 2 times, 3 times, 4 times the calories. It's not worth it. I can go and have my ice cream fix eating that or eating sorbet. So I make that decision. It's a better decision than what it could be. It's a decision that is much more likely to keep me maintaining my weight than it is actually gaining from that. Same if I'm going out to get gelato. We've got an amazing gelato place in my town. Shout out to Bokubu. And there's a lot of different vegan ice creams there. They have ones that are made from coconut and coconut milk. And they have ones that have vegetable oil, and I know because I've asked, and it's what gives them that creamy texture. So I'm going to get just as much enjoyment from the passion fruit variety as I will from the high-fat chocolate variety. And I know that because one of them is made with mostly fat as the base, and one of them is made with mostly sugar and water as the base, that the lower-fat option is going to be much lower in calories, and it's much lower in fat. So I'm going to choose that when I go to the gelato place. When I go and get sushi, I'm not going to get deep fried sushi. I'm not going to get those little sushi pockets, those inari, because they are deep fried and then covered in sugar. I'm just going to get regular sushi with avocado and veggies. And I get just as much enjoyment from that, but I'm not getting those extra calories and I'm not getting that extra fat. And oil is going to be in most things that you eat when you go out to eat. You can ask people as much as possible to cook without oil, or you can choose things that are going to be naturally lower in oil. Things that are going to always have a ton of oil are going to be any kind of fake meats or condiments, any kind of aiolis or things like that. A vegan aioli is going to have, well, I don't know, like 6 times the calories as if you were to eat your chips with sauce. Your chips are going to be super, super high in calories because they have been deep fried. So if you were to choose, for example, pita bread with hummus, you're automatically lowering the calorie density of that, and you're also eating lower in fat. So when you're going out, thinking about things that are going to be have minimal oil in them just as they come. So if I'm going out to a Thai restaurant, I'm normally not going to get a coconut curry because that is so, so high in fat from the coconut cream. I'd much more likely get a stir fry. And even if the stir fry is cooked in oil, it's still going to be much lower in calorie density than an entire tin of coconut cream or whatever else that ends up being. So if you really want to get a good idea of this, and how to judge where something is on the calorie density scale, Google calorie density scale and download that so that you can start getting an idea of where different foods fit in there. When you start looking at the ingredients on things, I mean, some people don't like that because they think that it's too pedantic. In my mind, I want to be educating myself so I can make educated choices. But if you start looking at some of the ingredients and on different packets, you're going to start to see correlations and be able to understand more of why things are higher in calories than other things. And that was how I really figured out that something like the soy ice cream was much lower in calories than even the Halo Top ice cream, which is kind of promoted as low calorie ice cream. And the reason being just simply because it's lower in fat, it doesn't really have any oil in it. If you're doing baking and things like that for the holiday season, look to substitute the oil out for things like soy milk or applesauce, because that's going to lower the calorie density overall. And again, it's going to lower the fat content. You can really do a lot of baking without oil, especially things like cakes. So I wouldn't be as worried about having things like bread or cake or anything like that around this time as I would be with having something deep fried. Like I'd choose a baked cake that I knew that I'd made without oil. I'd rather choose that than like mock meats or fake meats, because it's going to be lower in calorie density and it's going to be lower in oil. So pick your battles with that. There's still definitely a chance that you can gain weight, even if you're eating very, very low fat, because weight gain comes from excess calories. But it's harder to do that from whole food, lower fat sources than it is from high fat sources. So pick your battles with that when you are looking to maintain. And ultimately, if your core environment is good and your core environment and your core habits are supporting you during the week, then having those kind of things when you go out or when you're with friends and you're making the best decisions that you can about it, you're most likely going to maintain your weight. And with this as well, you're going to have moments of feeling like you've failed. That's okay. That's part of it. Don't give up. Don't give up on trying to just do a bit better than what you did last year or just make a next best decision. You haven't ruined anything because you're not focusing on weight loss or even weight maintenance. You're focusing on habit change. You're focusing on becoming the kind of person that navigates these situations well. And one of the best habits that you're going to need to deal with, or one of the most important ones, is how to deal with failure. See failure or see going off plan or anything else, having a binge, whatever it is, eating your weight in Ben and Jerry's ice cream after we talked about this, and deep fried chips and vegan aioli, which is loaded with oil. See that as an opportunity to learn and see what you could have done differently or what you will do differently. Set some expectations. If you go somewhere and you're finding, you know what, I ended up eating all of this stuff, what could you do differently? Could you have a conversation with someone in advance? Could you bring more stuff? Could you eat a little bit before you go? What does that look like for you? What would improvement look like for you? So this has ended up being a very long episode. I thought it was only going to be half an hour. Okay, so to recap that, choose your core environment habits. That's number one, because those are the things that you do day in, day out. Define what they are and protect them. Next is redefine success in a way that is about improvement and is about habits. And it's okay to choose to maintain your weight over this time. And if you want to be losing weight, you're going to have to be a lot more strict over that period. You're going to have to make sure that you are in a consistent calorie deficit. And you can listen to literally any other of my podcasts if you want to learn how to do that. Setting yourself up the day before or on that day with a consistent breakfast is part of a habit that I would recommend for everyone. And then choosing the next best decision, having a next best mindset rather than an all in, all out, black and white thinking. It's going to stop you self-sabotaging. Make as many decisions before you go out to make when you're out easy as humanly possible. Humanly, I think I keep saying humanely. It's like another episode where I said spoonerism, and that was something completely different. That was like mixing up words, and I did know that, but I said it wrong. So undoubtedly, I've said many things wrong. I'm having many failures in this podcast episode that I can hopefully learn from. So it's not about getting it all right. It's just about getting it going and make it as easy for yourself to succeed as possible. When you are making a decision about the next best thing and an improved decision in those situations, choose lower calorie dense food. And if you need to know what that is, download a calorie density chart to start educating yourself. Whole foods are always going to be lower in calorie density, and whole food carbohydrates lower in calorie density still. So low fat as much as possible is going to help you avoid surplus calories being stored as fat. That's it from me. We are coming up 1 hour. Oh my gosh, what a long podcast. I hope that you found this helpful coming into the season. I would love it if you messaged me or left a review. Let me know what you thought. It's always great to hear feedback about this. And Just wanted to say, if you're feeling stressed about this season, give yourself some grace. Have some grace for yourself. You're not going to get it all right. It's okay. And even if you do gain a bit of weight over the holidays, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. All right. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great one. Bye.